discussion of governing commitment is for Bureau Bond.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for the opportunity to present. What I'm presenting tonight is to answer some questions that were brought up at the previous meeting regarding Convention and Visitors Bureaus, and also to set out a proposed framework for process of how you go about forming the CBB. Well, I think the easiest way to do this is first off, from the back page of the memorandum, one of the questions that was asked was to set up on a simplistic basis the differences between a 501c6 and an authority, and I can go through that fairly quickly. On the questions that were asked on the memo is who appoints the members, and the simplistic answer is the same for both 501c6 and the authority. Mayor Council appoint the members. For the 501c6, actually, there is an option for the members to appoint themselves as well on a limited basis. For the number of membership, on the membership, it's both the same for the 501c6 and the authority. It would be the complete discretion of the Mayor and Council. Both bodies can accept grants. Only an authority can issue revenue bonds. Both bodies can be dissolved by Mayor and Council. The answer to the question of can elected officials serve on a 501c6, the answer is yes. And the answer on an authority is no. And that's not because it's an authority, because your charter would restrict your ability to serve on an authority as an elected official. The last question, is the body a component unit of the city for audit purposes? And this is the same answer for both the authority and the 501c6. It depends on the makeup and membership of the board, the amount of financial involvement the city has in the organization. And really, the controlling measure is significant control over the organizations. There really is no negative to being a component unit from an auditing standpoint. The organization is going to be audited no matter what. And what this would do is include, depending on the amount of involvement and the financial impact, the auditors would determine whether or not it's a component unit, and then it would be included in the city's financial statements. Otherwise, it would be audited under the IRS rules as well. So, really doesn't make a difference. Really, the clear-cut difference between an authority and the 501c6 is the ability of an authority to issue revenue bonds. We'll point out from a process standpoint, this is a suggested process. Certainly, the council can follow whichever process it wishes to follow. For tonight's meeting, what I'm suggesting is that the mayor council advise staff regarding the preference for either a 501c6 structured CBB or an authority. And then also to further advise us on the proposed membership criteria for the CBB so that we can draw the appropriate documents. And probably the easiest way to kind of screen this through is to look at both of them separately, because they're formed a little bit differently from a timeline standpoint. So I'll take the 501c6 first. And if you decide to go with the 501c6, at the July 20th work session, we'll propose the following documents for council review. And that would be to show you the first draft of the proposed resolution organizing the CBB as a 501c6 model. But also would include in that packet proposed bylaws and a management contract between the CBB and the City of Dunwoody. And then also ask that the council propose the board members at that time for inclusion within the documentation that we pass the following week. We'd like to point out very strongly that the proposed bylaws and the management contract would be simply guidance that we would be able to hand to the CBB to make their job a little easier, that they would actually be, for the bylaws, adopting them themselves. And then for the management contract, it would be a mutual contract, so the council would have the opportunity to draft the agreement and pass it, and then it would require the CBB also adopting it to make for a valid contract. At the July 27th council meeting, staff is recommending that you go ahead for 501c6 and vote on and approve the resolution that would create the organize the CBB, and then also propose at that time the bylaws, and then you could potentially take a vote on the management contract between the CBB and the city at that time, since it's not valid until the CBB were to weigh in on that as well, or you could wait until a later date after they've had a chance to review it. And then also on the July 27th meeting, you could also vote on the board members. If you go through the authority method, basically the only difference is it would require two reads, and the first read would be on July 27th, and the second reading, the adoption of the ordinance would be on August 10th. And then on August 10th, obviously, after it's completely formed by ordinance, that's the point you would appoint the board members. So those are the major distinctions. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And as a recap for tonight, we do need to get an idea if y'all would like to move ahead. On this proposed calendar, we do need to get an idea of what general model we'd like to go with, whether it's a 501c6 or an authority, and then also the proposed membership criteria of how many members, what categories those members are in, and the city attorney and I will draft the documents for your review at the work session to take action on the 27th.
Okay. Any other any mail?
No.
Good. Thank you.
Just a point of clarity, I think City Council has talked about the 501c6 board that we recommended you not name more than three or four of those members, if we had a 9 or 10 man board. And the reason for that was that it put us in a situation where we would in fact have to be audited if the financials would come into the city. Is that correct?
It would be one of the two elements of significant control, would be the appointment of the vault of the board and then the financial controls, the financial participation.
Let me make sure I understood the ramifications here. One of the decisions that we may have to make tonight is whether or not we ask you to construct a system where all of the Convention and Visitor Bureau board members require the approval of this group, or whether, regardless of whether they're representing the hotels or the restaurants or the PCID or the chamber or anybody else, or whether or not we ask you to build documents where the only people we approve are the ones that we select to represent the community. Help me understand the ramifications of saying we want approval right for all of the selections, even the ones nominated by these other groups, versus just letting them pick folks and put it on the board.
I think you've got two considerations. One deals with the component aspect of the formation of the authority. And again, there's no magic number or kind of dividing line that's set out in the guidance. It's really going to be kind of an auditor's determination as to when you have significant impact or control of the organization. And I think that's more determined by how many members of the council are on the board rather than who makes the specific appointments. And the second is really just a policy question that the council's got to make a decision on as to, there's kind of two camps of thought there. One is that if the council makes the specific appointments, then you've taken a little bit more control or authority over the organization, whereas if the members in those categories are delegated for their initial appointments and then the board subsequently makes its own appointments, it's a little further separation. And I don't think there's a good way or a bad way to do it. It's just a policy choice this council needs to make. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that council direct the staff proceed with a 501c6
second
organization for the control and the operation of the Convention Visitors Bureau.
I'll second that.
The motion has been made and second. Point of information, yes.
I'm concerned about our ability to have some public comment at some point in our deliberations for this. The item on the agenda was very general. We didn't publish a motion or any of that.
True.
So my suggestion is going to be, and I don't know when the chair should decide, but at some point before we finish this discussion, I think it's appropriate for us to call for public comment on this issue, just like we would do on any amendment that hadn't been previously published.
Sure, there's no problem with that. With no objection, we will open up the floor to public comment on the issue of whether we should become a 501c6. Did I mess that up again? 501c6. I've got it written down here. I should read my writing. 501c6 to control the convention and visitors bureau for the city of Emily. What I'd like to do is, without objection, we will go into public comment. Okay, with that, I'd like anyone who wants to speak in favor of the 501c6, I got that right on the third try, please step forward to the podium and state your name and address and tell us what you have to say.
I'm Bill Grant. I'm here as the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. What I'm going to say to you is what the resolution of the chamber and how it views all this. And this is not a grand in-like, it's almost as good as next. The chamber position is strongly in favor of the city meeting. It is strongly in favor of being a federal unit. We ask that we have a seat, the hoteliers, this group have a couple seats, which one towards our seats, or one at least, and a couple citizens. On the other hand, the organization of this CBB is really not the province of the chamber. There have been numerous people get up in front of you telling you you had to do this, you had to do that. I'm here to say to you, I am representing the chamber. I am telling you what the chamber's resolution was. And all of the other comments that have been made prior and maybe again tonight are representative opinions of individuals and not the chamber's.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak for? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone who would like to speak against? Okay, seeing none, I will, without necessary objection, I will close the public hearing. Okay, now we're back to the motion that, direct the staff to set up a 501c6 for the operation of the CBB for the city of Dunwoody. Discussion. Okay, seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please raise your right hand, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. The ayes have it, passes 6-0. Okay. The other factor that city manager would like us to discuss is the makeup of the board. I'll take this one to lead off on that. So I will make a motion that the board be made up of 9 members. 3 being selected as picked in Councilman Ross's letter here by the members of the council. One would be selected by representatives from District 1, one by District 2, and one by 3, and you don't necessarily have to be required to live in that district. It would be 3 from the hotelers, 1 from the restaurateurs or retail section, 1 from the BCID, and is that right? Like this one? Okay, this one did that.
One
from the chamber. Sorry, 1 from the chamber. And I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Okay, and I think on that one, I think we will have public hearing again. So without objection, we will go into public hearing. Is there any objection from the council? Okay, all those who want to speak in favor of the motion as stated, the CBB be made up of 9 members in the division. I'll repeat that if anyone wants it repeated. Please step up to the podium. Okay. Seeing no one in favor or anyone who is opposed, please step up to the podium. Okay, I see no one opposed.
Threatened to
So seeing without objection, I will close the public hearing. Is there any objection on the council?
I'd like to make a couple of comments with respect to make up your proposing, maybe make a friendly amendment.
Open the discussion. In.
Maybe make a friendly amendment to the form of the makeup of the board. If you look at surrounding cities, and I look at all over the state of Georgia, typically when you have a 501c3 that's representing from the council on that board, and your motion did not include any representation of the mayor or any of the council persons on that board. Sandy Springs, for instance, has a 5-man board, of which none of them are hotelers, and 2 of them are members of the council. One is the mayor and one is the city council person. Alpharetta has a total of 11 people on their board, and of those, 4 are either members of the city council, mayor, city manager, or the city development director. In the case of Macon, Georgia, they have 15 people, of which 1 is a council person. Augusta, Georgia has 9 people who are from the community and 2 that are part of the council. Garden City has a 11-man board, 2 of which are members of the council. And I think we're going to be giving a substantial amount of money to a 501c6, and I think it makes sense for the mayor to serve on that board or appoint somebody to serve on that board. And I would also like to see somebody from the retail trade. The CBB and this tax benefits 3 people. It benefits the hotel industry, it benefits the retail industry, and it benefits the restaurant industry. And I'd like to see a restaurant industry person be named to that board too as a trade. And that would bring the total to a total of 11.
Denny, in your proposal here, you've reserved 1 spot for restaurant or retail. What did you have in mind in terms of how we would figure out, or how the CVB would figure out whether it was restaurant or retail, or which restaurants or retail? So just help me understand.
I thought that would be, that's a subject that I thought would bring up the council to decide whether you want or the other tonight.
Okay. So it's an either or.
It's an either or.
Okay.
Or it could be, the selection process, could boil down to, my original idea was that it would be the restaurateurs, but, it could be the retail also. I think the restaurateurs are probably more up to vote, but I thought I'd throw that out to the council.
Okay.
The council
okay. Thanks. I just wasn't my first question.
Yeah, I've talked to a number of business folks and folks in the hospitality industry. The consensus is basically this should operate as a quasi-autonomous, not without oversight, but as not to be actually a city department or that closely attached to the city. The consensus is let business folks run this. They're in the businesses that they're trying to grow and bring in the tax dollars for. Who better to run this? I like a 9-person board. I'm not opposed to increasing that if we feel some areas have been not as well represented. This is essentially a contract for services, just like your other contracts. And you hold them to the same standards. You have an out clause. You have yearly renewals to incentivize performance on that. Or they either lose the business or they don't. This really, in my opinion, is something you really don't need a city to run on a day-to-day basis. We appoint a chair. I think that chair, depending on who that is, we don't have any hospitality people on city council. That person may be a defense contractor or a dentist who has no idea of that way the hospitality and retail industries work. I think we need to go ahead and appoint good people to this, have approved the appointments of the other folks, and let them run their business from oversight of the city.
I'd just like to chime in on that just a little bit. I envision this
is, yes, the city council would have oversight. We would set general guidelines and such things as, i.e., quarterly report on the finances when we initial start up. And we could do it a lot more often to make sure we're getting off on the right step. And I think we've got very smart people in Dunwoody, and we've got very sharp people in Dunwoody. I just don't know, I can't bring myself to thinking that somebody from the city council or the mayor needs to be on this. Oversight, general guidelines, the CBD members themselves would elect the chairman, and they would write their mission statement, although I will tell you, Councilman Ross Danny has done a tremendous job of working on this, and basically it's a lot of information. I'm sure everybody likes to dot a couple of I's or anything, but Danny's got a mission statement here, and we can put our objectives, but that's the way I see it run. But I share Councilman Ross' concern for the financial end of this. This is not, this is not our dollars, this is their dollars. And I'm always very concerned about that. And we can delegate authority, we can never delegate responsibility here at the council level. So that's why I think, we have to have the oversight, and we have to have, general guidelines for the CBD to operate again. John.
I echo Councilman Taylor and Shortle. I believe the organization does not need to be run by government. I believe that the makeup is of business people doing business items, putting heads in beds. The Convention and Visitors Bureau does not need to be government operated. I believe trust but verify. There will be reports. There will be reporting back to us. There's no need for the oversight. I don't see the need for oversight. I just don't see the need that we need to be on this board. It'll be separate, possibly from us. It should be operated separately. And that would be my thinking on the aspect of it.
I've got... Grandpa? Yeah. If the mayor's not here tonight, one of the things we didn't provide for in this is for him to have any say in the makeup of the people on the board. And when we first started talking about this, we were going to let the mayor have a slot. I'm okay with not letting the mayor have a slot. He can fight that battle when we actually have something to, we'll get another shot at this, right? Because they'll write it up and they'll bring it back and we'll have an opportunity to make amendments. But I wonder whether an alternative is to have three members selected by the city council. And logistically, I don't know how we do this, but rather than say that one's going to represent, District 1, one District 2, and one District 3, just to say that three are going to be appointed by the city council and let us put our heads together, we may decide that we want to look for some sort of balance, right? We may want one person who's part of the business community and maybe somebody who's a longtime resident. And it may make sense for us to look at our three picks together as a package rather than just hand in three slips of paper and then figure out who we appointed. So that would be the only concern I've got with what you suggested. But the difficulty, frankly, is a logistical one, which is how do you, we can't talk in private, right? We every time we talk, it has to be in front of the public. How do you discuss this in public without that being awkward for the people we're talking about? And I don't know how you do that. So that's the flip side of that. But for what it's worth, that seems to me to be something we might want to think more about.
Okay, I can tell you that the mayor is okay with not having a pick.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, any other discussion?
I just tried to make one other comment about oversight.
this year this is going to be about $700,000. In the year 2007, the number was $811,000 that would come in to the CBB, with the CBB gap count.
This is the time for
the total for 2%. 2%. This year it's going to be only $700,000 because the hotel business is down. I think I look at this money the same way I do everything else that we spend in the city. This is the city's money. We're just designated as to how we can spend this money, just like we are on storm sewers. We overlook storm sewers, oversee storm sewer funds through the relationship we have with our city manager overseeing public works that does that. This kind of setup does not have that oversight. We have the ability to get audited financials. We have the ability to establish the budgets, but from year to year, our oversight is just not going to be there. So we have a one-year period of time here, and this is exactly the reason that we need to move away from DCBB, because they have no oversight from the county at all there. And their budget last year was $2.7 million. And they have no oversight from the commission. They did not view this as being an important thing. I do. And I do believe that we need to have oversight beyond just getting financials published on a monthly or quarterly basis. I think that oversight needs to be some kind of direct involvement. At some point in the future, we may have to change that, but I think if we set this up, the mayor or his designee should be.
Again, I would just say, you know, one of my reservations in government is it seems like no matter what anybody starts, it always builds up. And I guess one of my reservations is that you know, the organization, whether it be an executive director and marketing director, dual head or whatever, is that we stay lean on our organization here. I found out that we all don't like the term lean to mean, so I won't say that anymore, but we stay lean. But I think that, Danny, correct me, I think out of the $2.7 million, I think about $1 million goes to staff in DeKalb County, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. We have 16 people in that training.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I think we have to be in the oversight in writing in the general guidelines is just, you know, what the staff makeup is going to be. And I know I talked to Danny, and I think maybe volunteers and maybe come in to do effect here. Seems like every time I move, I can't hear myself anymore. But anyway, that's one of the things that I am really concerned about, and having more of you on the board for the council are also concerned.
I just have a couple comments. First of all, contrary to what Councilman Taylor says, dentists are very hospitable. To patients, trying to get patients in, but we know a lot about it. I agree with Councilman Winston's formula of allowing the entire council to come up with the three numbers. I do believe that the hoteliers and the restaurateurs and the retail industry, they obviously have a vested interest in using the money wisely. And I think that with our quarterly reports, that will be enough oversight without having a city council member sit on this board.
And I just interject one more thing. You know, again, I share Councilman's loss concern about the money here. Where it's going to go, but it's your money. And I would think that maybe, you know, initially starting out, we may have more than quarterly reports. But again, I think we set the general guidelines, and you know, we have the oversight again to making sure that this works. But again, we don't want to say again anymore. We have so many people in this city that are so smart and so savvy that I think there will be a lot of talent up for it, and this will be run. How we can ever, one of their challenges will be to quantify, if you will, the results of our expenditures. And I don't, you know, that's going to be a little difficult, but that's one of the things that we have to really do is to face the public and say, you know, we spent this money, we here's the results of it. Jeff?
I have a question for staff in the sense of the transparency in the Open Meetings Act. If we write into the contract that the organization has open meetings, they would have to meet as such, correct?
Whether you write it into the contract or not, it's the Open Meetings Act.
Okay. So it'll be fully open to the public, able to be published, notes and minutes could be put to the website if so desired. So as far as the transparency and the reporting back, I think the hoteliers, the restaurant committee, the business community are going to do what's best for the community, and everybody's going to be watching. The other hoteliers are going to be watching what the hoteliers that are on the board do. I'm satisfied that the money will be spent wisely. Thank you.
I think there's a motion.
No more discussion. Call for a vote. All those in favor.
Point of information before we vote.
Are we voting on the method by which the three city council appointees are also included, or can we do that as sort of a separate vote? Just, I don't know how you want to do it.
Why don't we do that as a separate vote, if that's okay with you?
Yeah, I think that's right. We want to do that one first, and then we'll do the whole motion. Does that work? I'm okay either way.
I don't know if we can. I think if we set the general guidelines to this, and the staff comes back, I think then we can maybe be more particular.
Yeah. Okay, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that. By the way. No, I'm good with that.
Okay. Back to the vote then. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes 5-1.
And I think, Warren and Melania, as you all stated there to start out with, I think that suffices with what you need to start out with. The procedures to proceed, bring us back some type of, or you need more information.
Mr. Mayor, President, the only thing is a little bit confusing at this point is that on the three-member appointments from the council, should the resolution be drawn up that they've done by post, or the council as a whole, in the documentation? I think that's the question y'all were just discussing, but not on clarity right yet.
I move that there be one person named from each of the districts that need to be located in that district by the respective members of the districts, i.e., for example, the post 1 and 4 would agree on one person, post 2 and 5 would agree on a second, and post 3 and 6 would agree on a third. And if the person that they nominate would not have to necessarily be within their district. I'd also like to encourage that we come up with some guidelines of the kind of people that we want so we get a cross-section of people who have marketing expertise, hotel expertise, web expertise, and being able to do e-marketing, which I think is going to be important for this group, and come up with maybe people who even have some experience in hotel industry that might be useful to us. People that can be contributed, and that would be my motion.
Motion on the floor, you're second. I'll second it just to give a vote. Okay, the motion's been made and seconded that the appointments be made by districts. In other words, the representatives of District 1 would pick one, representative of District 2 would pick one, District 3 would pick one. Can I understand what you said then? Okay, any discussion?
All right. Yeah, just as a refinement on that, hypothetically, if we had a situation where Denny and I couldn't agree, how would you see us resolving that? With Denny and I, that would never happen because we agree on everything. But if we were to go that route, how would you mediate in the event that two people in the same district couldn't come up with a common
It might be easier than mediating with 6 or 7 people that we have this task tonight.
It might, we have to have some provision for that. If we're going to go down that route, how would you? I mean, would you then let the mayor be the arbiter? I mean, how would you see that happen?
I just don't see how we do it in an open forum. Yeah. Where you suggest we do it with 6 people, and all of a sudden 3 of them are going to get the rug Jeff Fenton on there. I think that'd be embarrassing to our community.
I just weigh in here. You know, just about everything we've done by districts or by representatives, everybody has a say, so the entire city is represented. And this motion doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but I can just about assure you it will be that way. And I think that's something that nobody has worked out, so I see that as positive to this motion.
Looks like staff wants to say something.
Well, initially I was just going to recommend either arm wrestling or a foot race. More productively, under your charter, the mayor makes the appointments to these various boards and commissions. So I think the strategy is somebody that you report. Probably the reality is that if the particular council members in that district can't come with a decision, then the mayor will make that appointment. And as a body, that y'all will be able to either confirm or deny that appointment as part of your vote. That would be my recommendation.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, we'll vote on the vote. Sharon, could you?
Oh, do we need public comment?
I think we will have public comment before we vote. Thank you, Will Lovey. And I promised tonight myself I wouldn't forget public comment, but I just did it. Okay, so we're going to have public comment on how the 3 members from the council are selected. And the motion on the floor is that there will be 1 selected by the duo from each district.
That's correct.
Okay. So anyone who wants to speak in favor of that, please approach the podium. Okay. All those who want to speak opposed to the motion. Okay. I see none. So, without objection from the constable, they will close public comment. And if the constable is ready to vote, there's no further discussion. We will vote on the motion. Does anyone need the motion to read? Okay, all those in favor of the motion to select the 3 members from the council in the manner that the Councilman Roth stated, that 1 person will be selected by each of the 2 from each district, please raise your right hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes 6-0. Okay, Warren, is that enough? Have we hashed that one around enough?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
There was some discussion about whether we should be involved in the drafting of the bylaws of the CBB, and I talked to our council about that, and I believe it's his opinion that the CBB should actually draft the bylaws that they have, but we can, in fact, provide some guidance for them in terms of what we wanted vis-a-vis our agreement with them.
I think that would be right in our oversight and our general guidelines. I think you're exactly right. Okay, we're going to move on to item J2.